We're doing Parashat Aran, and this happens to be one of my favorite works. The Ran was born approximately the year 5050 on the Jewish calendar, which is 1290 on the Gregorian calendar. And he passed away approximately 5140, which is about 1380. He lived to about 90 years old. His parents, his family initially lived in Cordova, and then they moved to Girona, and it seems like the Ran was born there. His father, Rabbi Reuven, was one of the great rabbis of his generation, and the Ran learned by his father. And it seems like at the end of his days, he visited Israel, and it's possible that he stayed there. The Ran had two children, Don Chasdai and Don Reuven, who learned by him. Rabbi Chasdai lived in Barcelona, and his other son also lived in Girona. And after the Crusades, he sustained the Crusades over there as well. The Ran learned by Rabbeinu Peretz HaKohen, and he reached the level that he was like his equal, not only his disciple, but the Ran always speaks about him as his Rebbe. Rabbeinu Peretz passed away in the Ran's lifetime. Some say that the Ran also learned by the Rashba. We're going to see that that's a little difficult to say that. The Rashba passed away quite a while before the Ran. The Ran became famous for many of his works. He was known as the singular leader of that generation. The Jews of Spain, which was the center of Torah, all looked at him as their great leader. And the major questions were posed before him. He's considered the continuation of the Rambam, the Rashba, the Re'ah, the rabbi that led the Jews of Spain after him. It's interesting that the Ran's style is very clear. When we're going to read the Ran, you feel like you're reading someone who wrote it today. And this is true of the Ran in his works on the Gemara. The Ran wrote a compilation on the Shas. And it's also true of these drushas that we're going to learn. In my opinion, the beauty of the drushos, there are a few things that are unique about the Ran's drushos. Firstly is the clarity. Right away you'll see that it's very easy reading. Obviously he's speaking about concepts from his time and using words from their time, so there are certain points which are a little difficult, but most of what he says is very, very clear. The second point is that the Ran is relatively late when it comes to Rishonim, so when he's going to write his works, he's not only going to say his opinion, but he's going to quote, how did the Rambam understand this? How did the Ramban understand this? So when you're reading a later Rishon, you get the advantage that they give you perspective on the opinions that preceded them. And the third point is that he's slightly revolutionary in his approach. We're going to see that the Ran's explanations of things are things that we might have seen someone write today. Only if someone wrote it today, we'd say, how could you say such a thing? But if the Ran writes it, a rabbi from over 700 years ago, so then we treat it with great respect and we learn from it. There are certain things that you can only say if you're as great as the Ran. And one example of this is that when the Ran describes Makas Bechoros, that there was a plague of the firstborn, we're going to see, the Ran says that God made some kind of virus in the air that the firstborns who have to contend with opening the mother's womb. So there's a certain inherent weakness. We don't see it, but that affects them. The fact that a child has to breach the womb, he has to break forth to be born. And he's the first one to come through that womb. So there's something in that, in contending with that at childbirth, that makes him weaker with regard to something. He says, we don't know exactly what, but God must have invented a virus that will affect only those that have that weakness. So if I say something like that today, you'd all laugh at me and say, how can you say such a thing? The Torah says God went and hid each of the firstborn. And the Ran tells us, yeah, the Torah says that, but how are we to understand that? And we're going to see that this is a style that people think it's only the Rambam. We'll see in the Ran many points that work this way. So the Ran is going to attack many different points and give us rational explanations for all kinds of concepts which we've encountered before. And another beautiful thing about the Drashas of the Ran is that he seems to elaborate, but really what he's doing is he takes a concept and develops it and shows you its offshoots throughout Tanakh, and in so doing he explains many difficult parshios in Tanakh. And each drasha, even though it's basically contending with one point, we'll see that each drasha has its own series of chidushim. And we're going to go in order. We're going to start in the beginning, even though the first drasha is slightly more difficult than all the others. We're going to go in order, and Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem should give us merit to cover all of it. We won't cover all of it today, but Be'ezrat Hashem, with time, we should merit to finish all of the drashot Ran.
I was scared, you know.
One of the points that I recommend, as with all of our learning, I recommend that you take notes. This is especially true of the Drashot Ran, because things are written so simply, when you read it, it's very easy to read his points and say, yeah, okay, I got that, that was easy. That was a very interesting point, but that was easy, I got that. And you walk away and you feel like you got it. But as they say, easy come, easy go. He explains things very easily, and at first glance we feel like, I understood it, I got it. But if you don't write it down and you don't review it, so then it's very easy to forget it. This is all their introduction. We're starting in the beginning. So the Ran begins with the verse that he's going to focus on in the beginning. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz ve'haaretz hayta tohu vavohu. In the beginning of creation, God created the heavens and the earth was emptiness and void, etc. Kol ha'mefarshim ha'amitiyim, all the commentaries, the true commentaries, hiskimu bepirush elo haktuvim, shekavanatam lomar ki bereshit habriya nivra chomer meshutaf lekol ma shetachat galgal hayarech. Everyone agrees that initially in creation, God created matter, some kind of matter that would form everything that was created under the moon, under the cycle of the moon. V'imtzatam sabu shakavana b'omrot ha'shamayim v'et ha'aretz shayu shnei chomarim nivdalim. Some said that when God created the world, so it says he created heaven and earth, it means he created two different forms of matter. Shehem chomer ha'shamayim chomer ha'aretz, the matter that forms the heavens and the matter that forms the earth. Kulam eskimu shezeh ha'pasuk ha'sheni. But everyone agrees that the second verse will encompass all four basic forms of matter. Shehem avot lekol mashtachat lagalgal ha'yarech, that they are the sources of everything that was created under the moon. Vehem, and they are ha'esh, fire, hanirmezet b'milat choshech, that's alluded to when it says there was darkness. Ha'avir, air, hanirmez b'milat v'ruach elokim, that's alluded to when it says God's spirit. Hamayim ve'afar, water and earth, that are encompassed in the word tehom. Quick question. You guys want me to read and translate, or just translate what I was doing with the story? Some of our listeners said they'd rather I read and translate.
Read and translate.
Yeah? Okay. Ve'omnam. So, whenever I have things like this, I feel like skipping them, because I don't really understand when they tell me things like this. But for the sake of completion, we're going to quickly read through this first paragraph. But after this first paragraph, things become more understandable, even for simple people like me. ואומנם, חיבה החוכמה האלוקית להיות חומר אחד משותף לכל מה שתחת גלגל הירח. But says the Ran, God's godly wisdom wanted that everything that's under the moon cycle should be made of one matter, להיות הרצון מאיתו להמשיך טבע ההוויה כפי האפשרות, לא רצה לברות דברים רבים יש מאין. God wanted that things should be as natural as possible even within creation, so God did not want to create many new things. Meaning, God could have created the world that everything is a new creation. We have to make animals? Okay. Poof. Out of thin air, there's an animal. That's not what God wanted. God preferred to start with creating a base matter, and from this matter, have that matter evolve into other forms of matter, so that there's only a one time that God makes poof from nothing something.
You mean evolution is Darwin, huh? Or you mean animals actually born from other animals?
I wouldn't say
after,
either.
After the initial poof.
You mean yesh me'ayin?
He's saying yesh me'ayin, that God makes a poof from nothing something.
Oh.
God wanted to do that only once.
Okay.
And then when God had this base matter, God wanted to take this matter and change it into other forms of creation, because God doesn't want this world to be a world where things come yesh me'ayin.
So that wasn't very funny.
Achash yesh be'efsharut chom echad lechlol kulam, because God says it's feasible to have one base matter which will encompass all other types of matter. It just evolves into them.
Would it scare people if people would be like every time poof, poof, poof?
The idea is even before mankind was around, even within creation, God didn't want creation to look this way. ולזה, אם נצטרך להודות להיות חומר השמיים חומר אחר, so the Ran says, so if we're going to have to agree with those that say that God created two types of matter, the heavenly matter and the earthly matter, we're going to have to say, היה מפני שהצורה הגלגלית לא יהיה לאפשרות לחול בחומר הארץ. Because it's impossible that the shapes of the different constellations, their cycles, will be made of the same matter that the earthly things are made. אבל אחרי של כל הנמצאים מגלגל הירח ולמטה יש לצורתם אפשרות לחול בחומר זה, יהיה אם כן אם מצאת שני חומרים בעולם התחתון יש מאין ללא תועלת, ודי בחידוש הזה הנפלא והכרחי. So the Ran says, but bottom line, for everything that's down here, we're going to have to say that God created either one form of matter, two forms of matter, but that's all that was necessary. ועוד שאין ספק, and furthermore, undoubtedly, says the Ran, שזה המציאות כולו התחתון היה לצורך האדם בשבילו. All the things that were created down here were for the sake of man. Okay? We saw this in the Ramban. We saw this from the Mishnah and Kiddushin. Everything was created for man. והצורך הגדול לו בהם הוא מזונו אשר לוקח מאיתם. And the great need that man has is the satiation, the food, the sustenance that man gets from them. עד שחומר האדם קרוב להיות נלקח מהמורכבים האחרים. So we reach a point where we have to recognize that man's matter, the what we're physically made of, is close to the other things that he's composed of. Man eats plants, so that means there's an aspect where man is close to the plant. Tzmachim o balei chayim asher mashiv otam chochot ha-tiviyim le'etzem gufo. Because man, when he ingests plants or animals, they become part of his body. So that means that when God created man and created all other creations out of this base matter, God also created them that they're similar to the extent that they can become parts of one another.
Biochemistry is the same. It's the same components, the same protein, the same DNA.
Okay.
All the same.
וזה אמנם הוא מצד השיתוף הנמצא ביניהם בחומר. And this, says the Ran, is because we share similar traits when it comes to the matter we are composed of. ואם לא היה מחומר אחד, and if we weren't composed of one matter, היה זה מכת הנמנע, then it would be an impossibility. I just want to give you guys a picture of where we're headed. The Ran is going to focus on the concept of Achdus, the concept of unity, the concept of Minyan, the fact that we can unify. When we get together as 10 individuals, we can have more holiness than one. So the Ran is going to take us through a journey of discussion. How does it work that things can unify? How does it work that when people unify, they have greater strength? Why don't they have greater weakness? The Ran is going to discuss why is it that our merits combine to help one another and not our detractments. How come when we stand as a minion we say God likes us better? Maybe God should say, well, he has this fault, he has that fault, he has the other fault, he has this fault. God doesn't do that. God says, this one has this advantage, this one has that advantage, this one did this mitzvah, this one did that mitzvah. All of them together are wonderful people and God looks favorably upon us. So the Ran is going to discuss this this concept of unification, the concept of how do things get together, and he's starting from creation. And he's starting from showing us how all of matter, all of creation is really one. We're all connected in that we're all made of similar matter. We were all made from the same base matter, and to this day we all connect. So we connect. When we eat the plants, they become part of us. When we eat the animals, they become part of us. The Ran is showing how the whole world is connected, and from there we're going to evolve. Hacheskimo hachamim ki yifshar shiyoshev hayesod ha-pashut etzem gufo im yoto chelek mechalakav yan yoto cholek alav bepashitut v'arkava. The wise men agree that something cannot return to its base, to what it was. It, even though that's a part of it, okay, this needs a lot of explanation. How much time do we have? So we're going to have to pick up here to next week. Okay, I wanted to finish this paragraph, but this point will take too much time. We're out of time. So Bezachem, we're going to pick up over here next week.